Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And this is a special episode, Zach. This is episode 60.
Woo!
We are an hour into Dune Part 1.
We did it! Let's call it quits.
Just stop right there. No, I have no intention on stopping. I'm going to be honest with you, looking back after 60 episodes, I didn't think that we would have recorded this far, if I'm going to be completely honest.
I knew we had it in us.
Yeah.
We are both people who, if we start something, we give it a good effort. I'm not going to say we finish everything, but we give a great effort.
The good old college try.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's like time I get to hang out with my bud.
Hey,
talk about Dune.
Yeah, get to love that.
Yeah,
we are 40% of the way through this movie. We're not even halfway, which is there's a lot of Dune left. So,
do you have the halfway point marked yet?
No. Oh,
I should probably put that on the release schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, gosh, 40%. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a lot of Dune. And that's only part one, by the way. We're going to have a lot of part two.
It's true.
And then by the time part two is done, maybe we'll have seen, but not yet be able to stream either Messiah or part three or whatever they end up calling it. But
let's see. So we know from our release schedule that if we keep out in the week, the daily, so during the week, our last episode will come out sometime in late January next year. I personally would like a break for a little bit.
Sure.
I think that's healthy for both of us. So say if we start releasing again in April or May, like we did this year,
Then that puts us in
2026
January
or February. 'Cause I think part two is longer than part one.
Part two is definitely longer than part one.
Yeah. So that'll put us in February, maybe March.
Yeah.
Honestly. And we don't have a release date for three.
Nope.
Yet. But do you think it's going to be March 2026? I think it's a summer. I think they're going to do a summer release.
I would say summer 26.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe even winter 26 or spring 27. Like, I don't know.
They got to adhere to Oscar schedules and stuff.
They do. Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. But it would put us right there at the time.
It would.
So we can, get a jump right into three after a little break after two. So,
yeah.
Man, we're timing this. Timing it right.
Hey, we're talking about Dune.
Hope you all enjoyed our production meeting. Second one this week.
Yeah, I think. I was going to say, this is the second.
We normally talk about these kinds of administrative and logistics details off air.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm looking back at 60 episodes of the Dune Minute so far, and I'm excited to keep rolling. Today, we're starting with some sweeping shots of sand, and we're ending with some sweeping shots of sand.
That's right.
It's a lot of sand. A
lot of sand.
It's rough, it's coarse, and it gets everywhere.
Well, they were on Arrakis, weren't they?
Didn't
Anakin Skywalker grow up on Dune?
Dune, quote unquote.
For all intents and purposes, he grew up on Dune.
Tattoo Dune.
desert planet.
Two suns instead of two moons.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. That's the big differentiator right there.
Intellectual property lawsuits avoided.
Instead of spice farming, it's moisture farming. So,
well, not even, because the Book of Boba Fett says that they run spice.
Oh.
On Tatooine.
All right. Well,
spice is actually in there.
All right. Well, now they're just not even hiding that they stole, but enough Star Wars. This is not a Star Wars podcast. If you want to listen to Star Wars Minute, though, strongly recommend their podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. They, I believe at the time of this recording, they are starting to go through, they're going through Acolyte episode by episode, not minute by minute.
Sure. That'd be insane to
All the like the ancillary materials like outside the main movies, they just do episode by episode.
Sure.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yep. So we start this minute off with Khans and the A-Team flying over the open desert. I did notice that
off in the distance.
the you can see like from this vantage point, like over the ornithopter.
Yeah.
You can really see like the red patches of the desert where spice is accumulating.
I was yep.
Okay.
I have that. It's all lower points between massive dunes
yeah.
that you can see those darker patches of spice.
Yep. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Just we actually get to see what it looks like when like what they're looking for anyways.
Yep.
Cuts to Leto flying the ornithopter, which is a cool like little harken back to his I want to be a pilot line, or I wanted to be a pilot.
Wanted to be a pilot, yep.
Line from when we were talking in the graveyard.
I want to say that was episode 13 or 14.
Some early minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul looks over at Khans and says, what would you do if your ornithopter went down out here?
Which is such a strange, like, first thing. It's the first thing he says is, what would you do if you died out here?
Or, yeah, if you crashed.
Or if you crashed.
And Khans gives the answer that any parent should give a child like this. Well, you wouldn't want that to happen now, would you?
Yeah.
She goes, you wouldn't want to do that. It's worm territory. I was like, okay, it's not an actual answer to this question, but okay, that's fine.
Sure.
And I swear Paul's like the look on Paul's face says that exact same phrase. He's just like, not what I asked, lady. I was looking for a real kind of answer.
What would you do if your ornithopter went down out here? You would die.
Yeah. I mean, at least not within the first 2 hours because they have their Fremen made steel suits.
Yep.
But yeah,
of highest quality,
highest quality. Probably not, would not fare very well.
Well, he definitely wouldn't because he doesn't know how to sandwalk.
That's true. Well, no, he does. He read it in his book.
He watched it, but spoilers, he's not good at it.
Gurney gets his attention, taps him on the shoulder and says, Dust Cloud.
Man of very few words. Yeah. One thing I noticed just like from that moment where you see Gurney Gurney has to reach forward to tap Paul on the shoulder. The inside of the ornithopter cabin is fucking huge. Like you see the ornithopters and they're not small craft, but
it looks like his seat is sliding back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't know like if you caught that, but
there's a little bit of space between everything.
Yeah.
So it makes you realize like how large the craft itself actually is.
Yeah. Leto confirms that he sees it by saying, I see it.
Thank you, Leto.
Yep. And Khans goes, that's one of your spice harvesters.
Yep. And you get a really cool shot of the desert.
Well,
and these just massive sand dunes and stuff. And you just see like this little cloud off in the distance.
I got a little bit before we get to that.
Okay.
She seemed surprised when she says that that's one of your spice harvesters. It sounded almost like a, what are we doing out here? Like, why are we going towards that kind of thing? So two questions popped in my head. Did they not know where they were going? Or
MapQuest doesn't work on Arrakis.
So question one is, did they not know where they're going or what they were looking for? Or did she not know where they were going or what they were looking for?
Well, I think she knew because she said to Paul in the last episode, now let's go look at the spice sands.
Well, I don't think she knew that they were going to actually go rendezvous with a harvester. I think she was just there. I think she was under the impression they were just taking a gentle ride over
on a drive.
Yeah. And like exactly what we saw before, like the spice on the sands. I think that she was just like, all right, here it is. Take a good look. That's what you're looking for. And then let's get back.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking when we first hear about Liat Khans, They're talking about an insurance policy.
Yeah. When Gurney's like a hostage.
Yeah. A hostage. Yeah. So if you think about the context of that conversation, they were talking about how shitty the equipment is.
Yep.
So they were wanting Kynes to be with them as they saw how shitty the equipment was. So I think my reasoning here is they did not tell her that they were going to go meet up with a harvester.
Sure.
They asked just for a survey of the dunes effectively.
Yep.
And they were going to head back in. But when they saw the harvester, she's like, what? Why are we going towards that? And they were like, oh, let's just check it out. Let's see. Unregistered flight, which we'll hear next week. But and it's kind of a gotcha moment
thing. Yeah.
Like, oh wow, we get to see this stuff in action. Ooh, look how terrible this is.
Look at how shitty things are. And we can't fill all these fucking silos as quickly as the Harkonnens could because we're not fucking ready.
So it just, I don't know. Her look of shock or confusion didn't make sense until I put it kind of in that context.
Sure.
She didn't know. They knew, but she didn't know.
Okay.
That's what I think anyways. I mean, makes sense to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that.
As we go, you're absolutely right. We see the little plume of sand. This was the moment that I talked about on Tuesday, I think. This was the second moment of bad CGI to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not even the plume. The plume looks fine. The actual sand dunes that are going over that we've kind of like the camera moves over.
Well, I'm looking.
Those look bad to me.
Okay. Yes. So in my notes, I have a screenshot of this and you have two like very clearly like real dunes. And then behind that is just CGI'd land. And it's, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's still not bad, but it's very obviously like CGI extension of that land beyond what they shot. It's like when you look at a movie or a TV show and they like CGI in buildings into a city to make it seem like bigger or whatever.
Well, it reminded me, and again, this is not saying this is bad. It just looks out of place. It reminds me a little bit of the sand dunes from The Mummy.
Yeah, it kind of does.
So that's what it looked. It looked like that to me. But
shout out to The Mummy.
Shout out to The Mummy. What a great movie.
The Mummy was my bisexual awakening.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it Brendan Fraser?
It was all of the cast, honestly. And
it was Farad. No, Oded
Fear.
Yeah, that's it. Oded Fear.
He's a voice actor in one of the games that I play.
He's in Star Trek Discovery.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. fantastic ass actor. Handsome man.
Yeah.
That man has aged nice.
Yep. Fine wine.
So we get the, as we top the dunes, we get to go, get to see the harvester in action.
Yep.
And it is just billowing out dust in the back. Massive.
It reminds me of anyone that lives in the South would know this. When you see a lifted truck rolling coal.
Oh God. Yes. Yes. I hope.
Yep.
I hope other people do not know what that is.
Yep.
Just billowing out black smoke menaces.
Yeah.
So
one thing that you do see, is the path that this harvester had taken. And it's a very like zigzag path kind of thing. And to me, it just reminds me of a Zamboni.
Okay. Okay. It reminded me of cutting grass in a very inefficient way.
Yep.
You always start on the outside.
Work your way in.
And just do perimeter circles and work your way in.
Yep.
I would imagine they would do a harvester would take that similar path, go around the outside of whatever spice patch you're doing and then
work
just
your way in
work your way in. Yep. But yeah, it does. It looks very kind of random lines and a
path. No, it's not random though. That's the thing. It starts, you know, in one area, it goes down, and it's like playing a game of snake with itself.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that. It looked random to me when I watched it.
No.
This is another point that I brought up earlier this week that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I believe when we were seeing the Carryall take the harvester for the first time.
With the shitty CGI balloons?
Yeah, with the balloons. I wanted to talk about these harvesters for a second.
Yeah,
you posed the question, how long did the Atreides have to build the stuff before they got to Arrakis?
Correct.
It feels like things aren't connecting correctly to me in this moment. The harvester that we see the Atreides using is not the same as we saw the Harkonnens using.
Correct.
Very different.
Yep.
Almost 100% different. The whole big point of contention right now that we're kind of in the middle of is the Harkonnens left us shitty equipment.
Right.
The carryalls that the Harkonnens were using were different.
Yeah.
The crawlers that the Harkonnens were using were different. So what shitty equipment are we talking about?
I think
it's different. It's different.
Do you think it's because I don't know, because it's still different design wise from the Atreides ships that we saw.
I think it stays in the same motif.
I think that these are the remnants of the equipment that was left from the, because so we knew that the Harkonnens were on Arrakis for 80-ish mm-hmm. years or so.
Yeah.
I think this is the shit that was there before the Harkonnens showed up.
Okay. What gives you that idea? I don't disagree. I'm just,
well, if they're talking about how it's all old shitty equipment,
yeah,
that would make sense, because if the Atreides built it all, it would be built new and not shitty.
True.
Unless
true.
The Atreides just have shitty engineers, which
it was built in. Well, but then that completely negates their argument of look what they left us. Yeah.
So it has to be the old, it's either old Harkonnen shit before they got all buggy with their stuff, or it's the shit from before the Harkonnens.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense to me. And that also kind of fits with in the movie timeline from when Harold brought his big scroll out.
Yep.
To when they actually got to Arrakis is just a few weeks.
I want to say we had a confirmation. It was like four to six weeks or something. Yeah.
I highly doubt they would be able to have built anything in that period of time, or at least enough, but the things that they did have would be new.
Yeah.
That's a good call. This is probably very, very old equipment left over from Harkonnens, early days Harkonnens or before.
Pre-Harkonnen or whatever.
Okay, cool. I'll buy that. Yeah, that was just my other point of contention.
We figured it out. We did it.
Case closed. and our minute ends with the Ornithopter about to make a close pass.
Approaching the Zamboni.
Yeah. Those heart mollusks are doing their jobs, man. They're just pumping through and getting people where they're supposed to go.
Poor heart mollusks.
All right, cool. Any other notes on this one?
I have no notes.
All right, great.
I got to ask you, though, this week, all in all.
Yeah.
How many Shai Hulud's are we giving this week?
I really like this week, man. This was a good set of minutes. Yesterday was a smidge slow, and today was a lot of sand, but we get, I've always loved seeing ornithopters go and fly and the sweeping shots of the desert. I like those. Mm-hmm. We get really introduced to the harvesters, We'll get to know them much more intimately in next week. We get to see the balloons on the carryalls. Those are fun.
We meet Dr. Leah Kynes.
We meet Kynes, of course. There's a lot of history there. We got a smidge of Stilgar at the beginning. This week had everything.
All right.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna have to go like, I don't want to dilute my Shai Hulud market a little bit. I'm gonna go 6.5 on this one.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you a bit on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to give this one probably a 5 Shai Hulud, just because there is a lot of empty sweeping shots and times where there could be more substance, I think, in some of the minutes. But it's still, you know, pretty important.
Yeah.
To get to know Dr. Kynes and everything and what she's all about. So.
So this section of the book has this, these are like meaty sections of the book that we're working through right now. They have so many more plot lines that are being discussed and, you know, elucidated on. And,
well, like
and
you whatever. Talked about with Fleet Kynes with the being the spiritual leader.
Yeah.
Chani's father and everything.
But and so a lot of that stuff was cut out of this movie or not introduced at all in this movie. So what we're left with is important still, but it's just the beats that we need for the movie.
Yeah.
Had we been following the book, we would have talked a lot more about the traitor amongst the Atreides. We would have found the arboretum that they keep inside the castle. We would have had some really cool scenes between Yue and Jessica. And so a lot of
shout out Dr. Yue Lewis in the news.
Yeah. So a lot of other stuff happened like within this section that we just covered, but these high points, really cool.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Still the important bits for this movie. Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. We will be back at you on Monday to continue our close pass with the Ornithopter and see exactly what is going on with this spice harvester.
Yep. Got a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah. If you want to reach out to us and tell us what you're thinking about, just in general, it doesn't have to be about. any kind of comments or questions about the show, you can reach out to us on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can send us an old fashioned email at duneminute@gmail.com. Cool. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.